Hey everyone, we have a special edition of the Mayor's Table for you today. With me is Hank Adair, our Farmington Electric Utility Director. We're going to be talking about that power cost adjustment on your bill. What does it mean, and where are we going as a utility when it comes to your rates? Stay tuned. Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. Thank you for joining us for this special edition, this power edition of the Mayor's Table. With me today in a timely matter is our friend of the show. We have our Electric Utility Director, Hank Adair. Hank, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Happy to give some good news.
Good news is important, Hank, and that's...
Yes, it is.
That's why we wanted to get this information out as quickly as we could and provide some context and some clarification of this announcement by the electric utility of the reduction of the power cost adjustment. That word just came out this week. Just to give people context, today is August 10th. Mm-hmm. That word came out on August 9th that we were going to be able to see a reduction of the PCA, which I want you to describe, but I want to make sure people know this conversation that we're having right now, some of this will be repetitive to what we talked about in February. Mm-hmm. After we had the January month where natural gas prices were up $34.
Yep.
For that month.
Big climb.
Big climb, and how that led to the power cost adjustment on everybody, all of our consumers' bills. Mm-hmm. So break it down for us, Hank. Here we are today. We're going to lower the power cost adjustment and take a step-by-step through that.
Yeah, so I'll first say what the power cost adjustment is, just for a reminder of it. Really, the power cost adjustment is a pass-through cost, and it mostly is affected by the commodities we use as a utility. So for us, it's our gas generation and our natural gas. It's any maintenance we would do at the generation facilities we have, and basically purchase power. And the two big drivers of that are purchase power, energy we have to purchase to meet our customers' load, and natural gas as a commodity to generate electricity we do here in the utility. And again, it's a pass-through. We're not an investor-owned utility. There's not stock options going. There's not dividends for stockholders. We're public power, and we're owned, and we live in the community. Our bills for our 180 employees as a utility are the same ones affected as every customer in ours.
And that's what you mean by pass-through. Every cost that's associated with the generation of power or the purchase of power comes to the utility and then goes right back into the ratepayers' bills.
Exactly.
There's no money set aside for any special projects, anything else. I mean, there's obviously projects built in to what our cost of service is, but
it's a direct
PCA
cost.
Is a direct cost.
It is, right. And then a little bit there with it, with the pass-through to keep some cash reserves, which every utility needs for a rainy day based on the volatility. And talking, you know, back in February when we talked about March, we had unprecedented gas prices that came in. It was, you know, it was $33 is what it was, and it was $10, $11 on both sides of it. Nobody seen that coming or expected that to happen. And then with
it's historical.
It was historical.
It's never happened.
No. And
it could not be planned for.
No. I mean, natural gas price for the last 4 months, April, May, June, and July, let's say. August, we're still in, right? But the natural gas price was $2.50 on average for the last 4 months, compared to that $33 back in January. And it ripple affected through everything. It ripple affected through purchase power prices back then. And so we had no choice. We with where our cash reserves were at, our restricted cash reserves, to have us to be a viable utility, there was no way but to raise the rate at that time. And no, as we talked back in February, Mayor, and talking again today, as soon as possible, we would lower that. And I'm glad to say I'm here today to discuss that.
Well, I'm glad you're here too. And I think it's certainly timely. People have just received probably the highest utility bill that maybe they've ever seen for their house and their homes and their businesses. And the utility bill, of course, is not just power. It's also water and sanitation. But all of those things have jumped on the July bill, and they were much higher.
Yes. I would say my wife was a little shocked at ours, right? But
I think she shared that with me.
Yes, and she... We do have a lot of nice grass, and I have to mow it quite often. And we've ran our air conditioners because I like it cold, and we have swamp coolers, right? But I ran them 24 hours a day with the heat dome that happened in July.
Right.
So all of that effect of all our utilities, not just electric, had a sure ripple effect right now.
Well, I think, Hank, maybe you can provide some context to this, too. Speaking of the heat dome wasn't just over Farmington.
No.
It was over western part of the United States. Actually, it was the majority of the United States, if I recall. Which means the demand for electricity, generally speaking, was up everywhere.
It was.
Does that drive prices up when demand's up?
Normally it does. And the good news this year, Mayor, that I've seen compared to, I think we talked one time at a mayor's table last September. Do you remember California? And they were like, don't charge your cars last September in that heat dome.
I do.
There was less capacity and generation resources at that point in time. And those prices last September in September 22 drove to $167 on average. I mean, it was $300 or $400 an hour at some point. Interesting thing with this heat dome, and I give a lot to the weather, to be honest with you, is we had more generation and we had more California hydro. And our purchase power price for the month of July, even with that heat dome, was only $84 compared to $167 back in September.
Hydro being the key there.
Hydro helped out, right? And other gas generation came on. And so everything worked to cover. And guess what? That gas generation I just talked about that had to cover even with the extra hydro, gas was only $2.50.
Yeah.
That was a little bit different than last September when it was $8, $9, $10, right? So everything played in our way the way it normally has been with this heat dome to help keep purchase power and natural gas down. That's a good news. And so if you look over the springtime compared to last year, we had much more hydro. We had 113% more hydro out of Navajo Dam. They had a high flow release and things like that. Also, there was a time when Lake Powell, where we get our other hydropower, there was concern there was a 20% chance that it would lose generation and the lake would disappear when we talked in February. Well, guess what happened in late February? It snowed, and it snowed a lot.
Yes.
There's videos from Salt Lake City and all over the place and still from Lake Tahoe, and it actually filled up Lake Powell by 64 feet from
its low. We need another real winter.
Yeah.
We need a bunch of real winters stacked up like that with plenty of moisture.
Exactly. So it helped us this year where we're getting an extra, you know, I would say just last month, I'm just looking at a quick note there, we got 43% more power out of Lake Powell than we did the previous year. All those things combined with natural gas being down has helped us out. And the concerns and the major issues we had this winter have went away. And while they've done that, they've helped us get cash reserves where we could lower the PCA where it's at now. And actually, that was a milestone this week, Mayor. Our restricted cash reserves by policy reached a point that we had reached our restricted cash reserves, and that was a major trigger point to lower the PCA. We still haven't recovered everything, but our customers are hurting right now, and we are using a lot for all our utilities, and electric's one of them. And now's a time where we can draw that out longer to recover from that challenge of the past, what we have now, and spread that out to help our customers' rates right now and our own.
Yeah, I mean, the six cents is the term I'll use here for the PCA. It's six, but what is that? It's 6 cents for every
kilowatt hour used.
Kilowatt hour used.
Yes,
so
sir.
We've never gone that high.
No.
It was a reaction to the fact that after January, we had this huge, you know, we still were positive in the reserve, but we weren't meeting the requirements of that reserve account.
Correct.
And now today, as of this week, we have met that reserve account level, so we're able to bring that rate down. And you know, the news that went out from the utility stated there would be a 62.5% reduction of the PCA, and that's 62.5% of the 6 cents. So I think it's important for people to recognize your whole bill is not going to down 62.5%. It's a reduction of what will happen October 1st. So you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Hank. October 1st, we're anticipating, or we will be, reducing the PCA from 6 cents down to 4.15 cents.
Correct.
And then November 1st, it's going to go from 4.15 cents down to 2.25 cents.
Correct.
That would be a 62.5% reduction.
Correct. That's basically from 6 cents to 2 cents.
To 2 cents.
And so I'll clarify that. If I was to look at my bill, my wife showed me our bill the other day, right? Because I'm telling you, like, hey, check this out. So if I look at my bill, I look at my water. But if I go down to electric, I'll see a base charge. And a base charge is $13.50. And then on top of that, there will be a consumption, how much energy my family or my home used for that given month. And it'll be, I don't know, for this conversation, the average customer in our entire system of 45,000 customers is $650 a kilowatt hour. But for this conversation or my bill, let's use 1,000 kilowatt hours is what I used. So then I'll have an energy cost. And our energy cost is what is in our normal rates, not our pass-through. And that's 10.465 cents. And so you'll see that I'll have energy times 1,000 at 10.465, which will be a little over $100 plus my $13.50. And then on below that, you'll see power cost adjustment or PCA. And what we'll do is we'll add to our bill. If you just look at it, it'll have a number. We'll make sure we put what the PCA is at that point in time. So today it's 6 cents. So what is that 6 cents? That's $60, right, of that 1,000, right? Yeah, let me do the math in my head, right? Yeah, I'm an Aggie, so I got to do it real quick and move my finger. So 1,000 would be $60, so you'd see the PCA is $60. Let's say it's going down to 2 cents now as of November 1. Instead of $60, it'll be $20.
Right.
So that's where it'll drop.
22,
so the
$22.50.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for being exact.
Yeah, I want to make 20, sure.
22.
I don't want anybody to hold 20, you accountable.
22 and a quarter was exactly
in
what
a quarter?
It'll be.
Okay.
Yeah, 22.25. So the good news is that's a 67% reduction, but you still have the bill that still had the base charge and you still have the energy charge. So a true customer's bill will go down about 20%, and I'm just using general numbers. It'll go down 10% in October and then 10% again in November. But that's a pretty good drop. That's going to take us from where we're on the high end of all our peer utilities basically into the lower end, the lower decile when we do that. So quite competitive all over.
You know, Hank, I'm laughing just trying to do the math, and it's not funny. I mean, I frankly, people's electric bills, the utility bills, they didn't budget for this.
It's serious.
I mean, it's a serious impact to their financial standing. It's not funny whatsoever. I want to make sure I clarify that. It's just the fact that we've been put in this position after talking to people ad nauseum about what happens when you remove coal-fired generated power from our grid. You remove an entire energy source from our portfolio that had a pretty standardized cost associated with it that was low cost. You're talking $85 per megawatt hour. For some things now, our long-term purchase power agreement now is $85. We were operating at $40 of the 43 megawatts that were coming out San Juan Generating Station. Mm-hmm. So we have seen that price in and of itself double. 43 megawatts at $40 is now going to be 43 megawatts at $85.
Yeah, for the short term until we get our new generation built, right? So we covered the bridge for our new generation. And also covered the bridge pending, you know, council and yourselves, Mayor, approval. Recently, our utility commission yesterday approved consideration or advisement to the council and the mayor to join an energy imbalance market. And that will socialize our generation with others that are members of that will help drive our prices down,
too. So I think that's important for people to know, because not only that component, but also the committee that came together that has allowed us now to hedge further on against natural gas prices spiking with our agreement with British Petroleum, correct?
Yeah, and so our agreement with BP exactly allowed us, and I talked about the history and the weather and how well we've done to get to here. You know, we haven't sat on our laurels for the future either, and one of the big things is we hedge natural gas for November through March of this coming year, so we won't see any double digits, right? We locked in at a very low price, very reasonable. We locked in a purchase power agreement to get us till 2025, till the generation's built. We're now considering energy imbalance markets, which are very sophisticated and will allow us to find lower prices in the market and adjust how we run our generation. And all those things forward-looking are going to help us lower the rates in the future as well.
And I want people to know, too, Hank, we're asking questions, at least I'm asking questions of this committee and of you. With all the natural gas that's produced here in this area, that's low-cost natural gas, why we can't own a portion of that so that we can guarantee those low purchase price amounts? I mean, it just seems, I don't know. Yeah. I know there's regulations involved in it, and there's probably a lot more complicated factors that limit that particular component, but it's things that we need to explore. We need to get creative because we can't afford to play the game like California has decided to play the game. We can't be California here in New Mexico. Unfortunately, our state legislative bodies don't understand that, And I gave a presentation earlier this week to our Water and Natural Resources Committee, and I looked them all in the eye, because these were individuals who voted for the Energy Transition Act. And I said, understand this. Since September of 22 to January of 23, during that period of time, we saw 174% increase.
174% over that strip of time, yeah.
For power, mm-hmm. for the cost of power. All of those things are then passed through. They are sent through to our customers. 174% after guarantees by PNM that for the first year after the closure of the plant that they would see reductions in power or costs to their customers.
Yeah.
We all told them that was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a result of that type of mentality.
Yeah.
There was no power, replacement power built, ready to take the load on, and now we're seeing prices that are double what we were paying before. This was all expected. There was nobody hiding this fact. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it is. My opinion.
Yeah, and I get that. And that's where we're at too, because we're chasing our generation to catch back up, right? The good news is that the imbalance market looks really good. I mean, purchase power prices there have averaged, for the one we're looking to join with SPP or Southwest Power Pool, have averaged about $33 a megawatt hour. But we have to have capacity built to enter that. So that's why we still need the generation we're talking about.
So we're building generation now.
Yep.
We want to talk about that.
Yeah, so the first one would be our reciprocating engines. They help us balance, and they're a really good complement to solar. That's 18 megawatts, and we'll build that at the Bluffview site. We're working through the EPC contract process now. We've already assigned to a company called Wartzilla what we'll do for the engine type, which is a standard in the industry, if you will. And we expect that'll come on in early 2025 or early to mid-2025. Major things have happened. We're looking to build 30 megawatts of solar. I can tell you that right now, similar things like we talked in March timeframe, we have three independent power producers that are interested in working with us to build, and we're working through the steps of who the right person is. And then on top of that, there's been recent federal notifications of opportunities for loan forgiveness and things like that that can lower the cost for that power. The letter of intent will go in probably within the next 2 weeks for us. The deadline's late September, but we want to get in early. And I believe you've seen other utilities in the region. Aztec, for example, recently announced what they're doing for solar. And because we have 52% of our customers are rural, we could get up to 40% loan forgiveness with what's called the PACE program. And so that's what we're looking at.
So those 18 megawatts of reciprocal engines, right now we've approved or approved for a loan through the New Mexico Finance Authority for $40 million
yes,
for
sir.
Those. Mm-hmm. We have asked for $30 million from the federal side for our solar.
Correct. Congressionally direct spending.
And that's
yes,
for 30 megawatts of solar.
Correct.
Is there any battery associated with that?
None right now. Our integrated resource plan doesn't have battery until the future years.
Okay.
And battery's quite expensive still right now.
Right.
Of course, we have our own built-in battery with the hydro plant.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then we've just received news today as we film this. We've received news of $10 million coming to us from the state government to invest into our electric utility to help lower electricity costs and pay for some of this infrastructure that we're trying to build.
Absolutely.
For future, for our generation that we need. ETA, I hate ETAs because they're always hard to meet, but your best guess on when we would see this 18 megawatts come online?
You know, I would say right now with where we're at in the process, it's going to be about mid-2025.
Okay.
So I would say—
If you said that, I apologize.
Yeah. I think it would be late spring, early summer right now.
Okay.
And lead times for machines. Good news is, you know, transformers take forever to get, but we already have one. So that moves that project up a lot faster.
Okay.
Biggest thing we got to do is get our switch gear, which is the breaker systems that work to operate it. We'll get that ordered quite quickly. But I would say late spring, early summer, 25 is what we're shooting for.
Okay. Hank, the energy game is changing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people out there say that we should be building nuclear. I don't think people understand the cost of building nuclear.
No.
The lead times when it comes to you could start a project today and not ever finish it in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
There are other projects happening with nuclear across the western part of the United States, but those costs are still, you know, as I understand, north of $80.
They're still up there.
They're still way up there.
Yeah.
So nuclear is not, it also takes a lot of water for nuclear as well.
Yeah.
But we're chipping away at this the best we can. That our 4-year plan, 5-year plan, the integrated resource plan that we go through, the cost of service studies, all those things incorporate what it costs to run a utility.
Yeah.
Now and what we can plan for in the future. Those rates are set, and the rates that we have right now over the next 4 years, I think there's a 2% change annually.
For residential, right?
Residential.
Pretty flat for commercial and industrial, and actually slightly down, yeah.
But I would encourage folks, we go through the integrated resource plan. Again, it's on every 4 or 5 years. I think they probably have a city council meeting stream that they could pull that up on.
You bet.
Don't have the dates on that, but where we get that full presentation. But it's good to know what's happening in power.
Yep.
Energy is critical. I talk about it all the time on the radio show. We like to have you on here all the time because everything we do requires power.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the food that we eat requires some form of energy, the coolness of my house or the heat of my house requires energy, my automobile requires energy. I mean, all these things that we do in modern society require energy.
Yep.
And as the prices of energy go up, the costs of everything go up with it.
Everything with it. You know, any manufacturing needs energy to do it. So any of our products as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's important that we're paying attention to this. And I appreciate the work of Farmington Electric Utility. What is our current standard?
We're 99.9% reliable, right?
Which means the power's on 99.9% of the time.
Yes, sir.
The other night, we had a pretty big situation happen at Butler and Pinyon Hills Boulevard, which knocked out power to a very large area.
10,000 customers.
Yeah, and we saw the power basically get turned on for some areas pretty quickly. I mean, 30, 45 minutes, and then some of our outer areas. But the power came back on relatively quick.
Within an hour, we had pretty much everyone back on, but 30 minutes for the bulk of it.
So you guys work hard. I appreciate the work that you do, your linemen, our power plant workers, everybody who's associated with it. It's critical, and reliability is a key metric, and we are reliable.
Absolutely.
And we're excited to see this PCA come down and see people's bills get lowered, and we're hopeful for a future here where we can keep things more stable.
Absolutely. And I'd say the only thing I didn't add that I just thought of, Mayor, is, you know, we look at that vision and we talk capital projects, but also when you look ahead, you got to look at your feet sometimes, right? So looking at our feet is this year's budget. We've cut our capital down to the absolute minimum, right? We've not bought vehicles. We've done everything to belt tighten as much as we can for the utility, just in looking at our feet and just what we do every day. Above and beyond those capital projects, right? So every bit helps because we know how it affects our customers. We take it personal.
I know you do. And we're thankful for you, Hank. And any final thoughts?
That's it, sir.
All right. Well, thank your team for me. And we'll look to see how this plays out on our bills. See if my wife goes into shock here in October. How many kids we're going to have to fit in a room and just sleep in one room together. But no, people are going to be making some adjustments, and they're going to be necessary to some degree. But thank you for the work you're doing trying to keep it under control.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for tuning into this special edition of the Mayor's Table. Please share this with people in your network. It's important for folks to understand what exactly goes into the rates, the PCA, and the things that keep the lights on at yours and my house. Until next time, we'll see you right here on the Mayor's Table.